welcome to this awesome episode in the Knoxville First Church podcast. My name is Jason Scott. I'm the lead pastor, and I'm so thankful you have joined us today. I believe you've made a great choice, so buckle up, get ready, and let's grow together.
What a special time of worship we've had already today. Welcome to Knoxville First Church. See you later, kids. Everybody say, see you later, kids. Bunches of them back there. Have fun, Jonathan. Have fun, everyone. Colin, Kaylee, everybody back there. Have a great time. Colin, you're staying in, all right? I forgot. Yeah, you switched it up. So, hey, today we're in week three of a series called Little Is Much. Many of you have been here since the beginning. But to catch you up just a tad bit, this whole series is based off this one idea that it's the little things that no one sees that results in the big things everyone wants. And what I mean by that is many of us want something incredible to happen in our life. We want something spiritually to happen, physically, maybe relationally, financially. We want different things in our life, and we think that we need to make this big change, like really big change. And we've learned over the past 2 weeks that it's really not the big changes that need to happen, but the little changes. And oftentimes we make zero changes because we don't think we can make the big changes. But instead of thinking and letting the enemy hold us back, in this idea and concept that without big changes in my life, my life's going to go nowhere, we begin to recognize that little changes, that little is much when God is in it. Now, I want to remind us all that no matter what we do, and no matter what change we put in place, and no matter what little we attempt in our life, the whole concept and big idea is that little is much when who is in it? When God is in it. Not when Jason is in it, not when you hear a cool little idea from your pastor or your wife or neighbor or friend or coworker, but when God is in it. Because I tell you what, some of the people that we know the best and that are the closest to us can give us bad little changes that have nothing to do with God. And if you follow them instead of him, you're going to actually end up with nothing. So little as much when God is in it, and what we want often comes through little steps and little changes. How many of you guys in the room would consider yourself, as you walk out your life in every area of your life, or maybe just some areas, and you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about this question. Are you a pretty disciplined person? Pretty disciplined. You have disciplines set up in your life. You have routines and habits and things in your life that you would say, yeah, I'm very very, very disciplined. I want to say this one line to you just to get you thinking from the idea of discipline, that often we are, as people, we are what we repeatedly do. That we are what we repeatedly do. So what you do over and over and over is often who you become. So now as you think about that idea, are you a disciplined person? I would say that for myself, and maybe you can relate, that I'm highly disciplined in some areas, but not so much in other areas. Anybody say amen to that? Like, I'm very highly disciplined in some areas, but not so disciplined in other areas. And what I tend to recognize is that I'm disciplined in the areas of things that I find very important to my life, right? Very disciplined in those areas. But things that aren't important to me, I find often to be undisciplined. I find myself often complaining about not being in good shape. I'd like to be in better shape. I've said it for years. I'd like to join a gym, and I'd like to work out, and I'd like to be in better shape. And I'd like to go on a mile and a half walk with my wife and not feel winded, right? Like, I'd like to be in better shape. And I complain about that. And sometimes I complain about myself, and maybe you can relate. You know, I'm not going to make you raise your hand, that you feel lazy or that you eat too much. And you find yourself complaining about those things. And actually, when we look at our life, We raised our hand and some of us thought to ourselves, we're not very disciplined, but we are disciplined. We're disciplined to sleep in. We're disciplined to play video games or scroll on our phone. We're disciplined to eat too much food. We're disciplined to get corner caught in our couch and not move, right? We're disciplined to hit the button to put our feet up. We're disciplined to watch TV for the rest of the day. We have disciplines. We have habits. They're just not the disciplines and the habits in which get the results that we want. And then we complain that we don't have discipline, but we do. It's just the wrong ones, right? We have disciplines. They're just not established in a way to get the life that we so long for. I want you to hear this definition of discipline. Write this down. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want in the moment. Let me say that again. Discipline is choosing what you want most over what you want in the moment. Now, let me flush this out for you. Here's what I mean. Here's some simple examples for this, okay? What I want to be is muscular, skinny, and in shape. That's what I want most. But I also want the donut holes and the donuts in the moment. Anybody relate? Come on. Yeah. I want this, but in the moment I want that, right? I want a healthy marriage. I want a healthy marriage. Okay? Now these are examples that I'm giving. Okay? So I'm about to drop an illustration. All right? Not something that a pastor's dealing with in the moment. So don't go run. My pastor needs prayer. You know, I do need your prayer. I do need your prayer. But what I wrote down as an example for everyone to hear, and it's going to relate to somebody in the room, that, and I'm going to read it exactly how I wrote it. I want a healthy marriage, but I also want to look at other women and lust in the moment, which hurts my healthy marriage. Amen. I want a marriage, but in the moment, I just want that. It's not just for men, it's for women too. I want to have a strong spiritual life. And I want to read this exactly how I wrote it. It's how the Lord gave it to me. But I'd rather read my feed than feed my soul in the moment. How about that? I want a deep spiritual life, but I would rather read my feed. For those of you who don't know what the feed is, it's on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter or whatever. The feed is what the algorithm feeds you to read all day long instead of feeding our soul. So we want the most a healthy spiritual life, but in the moment we get overcome by the feed. I want to be better financially, but I also want to buy that new thing in the moment. That happens to us so often. In the moment, I just give in to temptation that takes me away from what I desire and want the most. So discipline is choosing what you want most. What is it? Think about that. What is it you want most over what you want in the moment? I want that big vacation. I want that so much, right? I want it, but that might take me away from what I really desire most. I want something in the moment, but it can take us off track of what we really want the most. For me, sometimes I can do this well, and then other times I can't. Can anybody relate? Come on. You can relate. Sometimes you do it well. It's like, no, I'm disciplined. I choose what I want most over what I want. Now I do it, and then I don't. Amen? I'm disciplined until I'm not. Right? Like, I'm disciplined until I'm not. And I just wonder why. Like, what is it that I keep struggling with? What is it that allows me and you to be so inconsistent when it comes to our discipline in our life, our habits, our routines, doing what we know is right, but then sometimes giving in to what is wrong? I find a scripture in Romans chapter 7, verse 15. This is Paul speaking and writing to the church in Rome. He hasn't went to Rome yet. He hasn't been there. He's planning to go there soon. And he's writing to just kind of build up the Christians and let them know kind of a statement of faith in this book of Romans. He's going ahead and sending them a letter saying, this is what Christianity is about. And he says this to them. He's trying to be real. He's trying to be authentic. He's trying to let them know his struggles, right? And he says this. This is Paul writing. He says this. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Verse 18. I want to do what is right, but I can't. Verse 19. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it. Verse 24 goes on to say, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Verse 25. He says, thank God. Somebody say, thank God. Somebody say it like they really mean it. I mean it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God, because without him, I am nothing. He says, thank God. The answer is who? The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So this inconsistency that we struggle with, it's a battle that is deep within us, right? This sinful nature that wants to overtake that which we've surrendered to the Lord, a struggle that's always pushing back against us. We want to focus on what we want the most, but man, that sinful nature, that flesh in us that we all have a little bit of, right? That we've surrendered to God, but sometimes the enemy just has a little foothold in our life, a stronghold we've talked about before, and it tries to get you to turn from what you want most for what you want in the moment. And the answer is, Paul gives it to us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Who can deliver me from this? Who can help me with this situation? It's only Jesus Christ, our Lord. With Christ's help, I can change, you can change, and we can all be better disciplined if we would surrender fully to Jesus Christ. Amen? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. We sung about it earlier. Right? Like that is where we have to put our faith in Jesus. See, what happens is when you receive Jesus and you surrender to Jesus and you live for Jesus, Christ is stronger than that which is in me trying to show itself and turn from what I want the most and for what I want in the moment. Jesus is the only way. Somebody say the only way. He's the only way to get this right. He is the only way. He is the only way to get this right. I will always choose what I want in the moment over what I want most if I don't have Jesus guiding my steps. I will always. I will always fail. And guess what? So will you. No, Pastor, I'm stronger than you. You sound weak up there on the stage. No, no, no. Keep telling yourself that, and that's the enemy convincing of your arrogance, and you need to humble yourself at the feet of Jesus and let him guide you. We are nothing without him. It's only through Jesus that we can live in this way that we want and we desire, a life filled with focus on what we want most instead of focus and surrendering and giving in to what we want now. Right? It's only through him. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Let's look at how maybe we can surrender our life to the Lord. Look at this scripture and just look at a couple things that we can do to lead us on the right path and create better habits in our life. Changes, little changes that will bring big results. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 and 25 says this. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs? But only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Run to what? Run to win. Is there any other way to live? Anybody else trying to live this life for second place? Huh? No one, right? We want to run to win this race. We want to run to win. Now, verse 25. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for what? We do it for an eternal prize. Now, this scripture brings out a lot of truths. But I just felt the Lord leading me towards this one thing in this one portion today. It says at the end, it says, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. That's a worldly prize, right? If you're running a race for the world, trying to get the world stuff, that all that fades away, right? But it says that we do it for an eternal prize. So they're running this race. They're creating these habits. They're running this. They're training in a way. They're disciplining themselves. They're disciplining themselves. And they know why they are doing it. What was the why? The eternal prize. And when I read that, I thought about how if we are going to make changes or habits or disciplines in our life, the first thing we need to do is be like this. They know why they're running this race. They know why they're training. And we need to make every little change to our life clear. We need to know why we want to change and why we want to put this habit in place. Little habits produce big results, but no habit. Like if you just say, oh yeah, today I want to make sure that I fully stop at every stop sign instead of rolling through it. It's just an example, right? Well, why? What's your why? Well, mine would be, if that was mine, so that I don't die, right? Or so that I don't have to pay a ticket for the rolling stop sign, which then affects my finances, because my finances is my why, right? So my health is my why, my family, you know, like creating the why, make your why clear. Why are these people running the race for an eternal prize? So first thing we have to do when we're trying to think about choosing what you want most over what you want in the moment is you have to make your why clear. Why do I want to change who I am? Why do I want to change my habit? Why do I want to change my discipline? Why do I want to do these things? For example, I want to eat better. Why? Just saying, my new habit starting tomorrow, Monday, you know, work starting, and I'm going to pack a healthier lunch. That's going to be my new, habit. But why? Because if you don't understand a why and you make it clear, you will never stick to your habit. If your why is because right now you're so unhealthy that your 8-year-old might not get to see you live for 10 more years and you want to be a part of his life when he has kids and be a grandparent, then that might drive your healthy eating better, right? Here's another example. I want to wake up early. But what's your why? I was sharing this idea and concept Friday, like I always do in my Bible study. And Pastor Norm, who's not here today, he's sharing in another church this morning. He shared this story with me where he said to the Lord, if you will wake me up every single morning at 6 a.m., I will study the Bible every single morning and put you first because I want to grow in my understanding of the word. He prayed and said, Lord, if you will wake me up at 6 a.m., my why is, and he made it clear, this is why. And he shared with us that every single morning, even mornings he doesn't want to, the Lord wakes him up at 6 a.m. and he gets him the word. And that is a spiritual giant in my life that I'm saying to you guys. It's a great example. I said from the beginning, the people that you see and you want to be like, the spiritual giants in your life, it's the little things that no one sees that results in the big things everybody wants. He wakes up at 6 a.m. and he gets in the word at 6 a.m. because he created a clear reason why, and the Lord blesses it, and he surrendered his life to it. So we have to make your why clear. I want to read my Bible more. Why? Why? Just so you can tell your friends you do? Why? What's the why behind the thing that you're trying to change, the habit you want to put in place? I want to spend less. Why? I want to change my words, the way I speak, the way I talk to people. Why? Because I want a healthier marriage. I want my family to know I love them. I want others to feel the joy of the Lord. You have to make it clear, or the habit you're trying to put in place will never stick. I want to come to church every Sunday. Why? Well, just because mom and dad told me when I was growing up I'm supposed to. That's not a good why. It might be for a little bit. Well, religion tells me I've got to be at church every Sunday morning. That's not a good why. Like, what is your why behind why you want to be in God's house on Sunday mornings? Like, you figuring out and making it clear. My goal is to have my family in a church every Sunday morning, and this is why. Because I want to raise my children up in a home that understands that the people of God are good people that they need to connect to. And that house is where we come to get filled up and full. And we have family there, and we connect with each other. And we go out on mission and live on purpose because of the church that sends us out to be who we, you know, like these are the whys. And it could be more and more and more for you. But making your why clear when you're trying to change, I want to choose what I want most over what I want to choose in a moment. We have to make our why clear. It goes on to say this: they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Moving on, it says, so I run with purpose in every step. Read that with me. Let's read this scripture on the screen together. 1, 2, 3. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. What stuck out to me, and I love when words pop out and hit me in the face. I need that. Like, I need the Spirit of God to go, boom, look at that one, Jason. And when I read this week, so I run with purpose in what? In every step. And what I felt the Lord saying to me, Andrew, was he didn't say in every race or every marathon or every day. He said every single little step. My goodness, y'all. Like, he is running with purpose in every single step he takes, every move he makes, right? Like, that is important to understand. And I think that's why we have to learn. When we're trying to make little changes in habits that bring the big results we want in our life, we have to make our habit change little and intentional. Little and intentional. Not big and without a purpose, but little and intentional. You have to make your habit change. It doesn't have to be big, but it has to make it little. Every step. Go back to the last screen for me, Robbie. It says little, every step, and intentional. Look at it. It says, so I run with purpose. Purpose. That's intentional. So whatever it is you're trying to change about your life, if you're trying to break free from an addiction or whatever it is, make the change little and make it intentional and make it clear. Amen? And this is how we begin to redirect our life, understanding how habits can create a life that we really, truly desire. When I was in my study group this past week, I had this other thought come to me. That oftentimes people would say, well, but if all you do is create habits and disciplines, right, you're kind of just creating this, you know, certain things that you do that hold you captive and you can't do anything else. And what I would say is, look at it like I'll call it a holy habit box, okay? And so you have these habits that you put around you, right, that help you live in a way in which determines that you're going to choose what you want most over what you want in the moment. Those habits are established. You know what they are. You know, yeah, for example, like here's some habits that you don't even realize you do every single day. Brushing your teeth. Well, I hope you do that. Right? Brush your teeth. Put your clothes on. Get out of bed. What do you do now? Like, these are habits, right? But when you're starting to think about how you want your life to change and you're establishing habits, think of it like a holy habit box that doesn't hold you captive, but it sets you free to live A life focused on Jesus with inside all of that. But when you choose those habits that you're putting around you, right? It's not to keep you captive, but it's to allow Jesus to send you and move you. But you know that these are the disciplines of my life that will never, ever change. Does that make sense? So don't push back on this and say, nah, I don't need those. No, because then I can't have fun. That's what a lot of, then I can't do this. You know, no, this is to set us free, allowing the Spirit of God to move. Because Scripture says that we can make all kinds of plans, but who directs our steps? Huh? The Lord, right? So if you're creating these habits, these holy habits, these things, make sure they come from God, but recognize that even when you do, He might change things. And He's allowed to. He's actually allowed to do that. Make your habit little and intentional. I love that scripture. So run with a purpose. Don't run just, you know. I don't like to run at all, first off. But if I do, amen. But if I do, like, I know where I'm going to run, right? And there's a purpose behind it. Normally it's to get finished with it as fast as possible, right? That's the purpose, you know, for me right now. I run with, but so when you go out for a run, you run with purpose in every single step. So every move we make, all the things that we do, every step we do, all of it needs to be driven by a holy purpose, one in which Jesus takes us on. If we're going to make changes, we have to make it little and intentional. Because if we make them big and unintentional, nothing will happen. So the question today is, what do you want most? Right? What do you want most? And if you want, you could start tonight. Go home. You know, Pastor said for us to think about what we want most. And then make categories. What do you want most for your family? What do you want most for your business? What do you want most for your marriage? What do you want most for your children? You know, what do you want most? And then start identifying the things that maybe you're choosing in the moment that are keeping you from what you want the most. Know what I'm saying? So this is what I want most. But in the moment, I keep choosing this. And then start creating disciplines and habits to not let that win anymore. Amen? What little habit do you need to change now to have what you want later in life? What is it? Because all of us have habits. All of us have things in which we do, and some of us don't even realize we do it. I'm reading a book right now. You guys can come up. I'm reading a book right now called Atomic Habits. It's a good book. Y'all should read it, okay? Atomic Habits is a great book. As I've started to read that book, I start recognizing all the unhealthy habits that I have that I don't even know I have until I recognize that I have it. Like, it's just things. This morning, I'm back here studying my message. I have my message done. It was done on Wednesday this week, praise God, after my Bible study. I come in the mornings, and one of my habits is to highlight and mark up and get back in it and let the Lord breathe it back into my heart really deeply. So I'm ready, right? That's a habit that I've established. But there's something that in the moment that always distracts me from my good habit. What I want most for you all is to preach the best message that I can, directed by God. But there's something that happens every single morning back there that distracts me from what I want most. What I want most is to preach amazing, to give you what God has given me in a way that changes your life. Amen? But guess what happens? This happens. I haven't been recognizing this. And so now this is going to start happening to you all after you leave here today. Start recognizing little things that are taking you away from what you want most because of what you want in the moment. I just noticed for the first time today, this is my desk, this is my Bible, this is my notes, this is my phone. I'm studying. I'm in it. I'm highlighting. I'm looking at it. I'm just getting in it. And then it lights up and I go like this. And I grab it. And I look at it. And then I click that little app that has an F on it for no reason. It says Facebook. And I scroll a bit. And then I shut it down. And I go, wait a second. What was I doing? Oh, put it back down. And I go back to this. This is what I want most. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is where I'm at. Amen? And then all of a sudden it lights up again. Boom, bright again. Oh, there's an alert. And I get away. I'm choosing what I want in the moment over what I want most. And it takes me away from what I'm supposed to be doing. It's a habit. And I recognize today for the first time, after studying and getting in the Word and God revealing this stuff to my life and reading this book, it's like, this is a terrible in-the-moment habit that's taking me away from what I want most. How else does this play out? We go home. It's bedtime. 9:30, whatever time you go to bed, you lay down. What do you do when you lay down? Be honest with me, many of you in the room. You go like this. And the woman or man that you love is laying beside you, and all you're doing is this. Instead of talking or cuddling or whatever else y'all want to do, you're doing this. And it's a habit that is hurting your house. And my house. And I know it. And today I've got to start saying to myself, man, Lord, you really revealed this to me this morning. So what am I going to do about it? I got to make it clear. So the first thing I did this morning was I went like this. Watch. I went like this from here to here. Ha! Right? Little. But guess what that little change did? It helped me focus on what I want most instead of what I want in the moment. Now I can't see it light up. Oh, it's it. How many of you needed to hear that today? Go from here to here. Turn it over. And then what else I did, and I always do this, but I turned a little button so I can't hear it ding. I'm always silent, y'all. So if you think I'm ignoring you, I'm not. I'm just, it's always on silent. But the other step that I'm thinking right now that I could take, some of y'all don't even care about this. You're like, Pastor, I want to go eat Thanksgiving. Can you shush it? Stop it with your phone. You can also, I'm having fun today. Go like this. Well, you used to. Yeah. And you can actually turn off alerts. So then it won't brighten. It won't show up when there's somebody doing something. But you could triple it down, right? Like, so hit the button, no alerts, turn it over. Life changed forever. Focus now on what I want most instead of what I want in the moment. How many marriages needed to hear that today? Turn it on silent, turn the alert off, turn it over, and talk to your loved one. Talk to your children. Talk to your people. If the enemy can win and take out your family, he will. So let's start creating habits of holiness that will put your wife first and your kids first. And I just spit and I don't care. Because this is serious. Serious business. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy all of us. What he hates the most is healthy, God-fearing families. And if he can get you dinging and looking, he will. Bing, bing, bing. And just ignoring everything else. Little changes. What little changes do you need to make to have what you want most later? What I want most later is to have grandkids. And financial freedom. And a house with my beautiful wife. And financial freedom so that I can be generous like so many of you are to me. Spiritual giants in my life. What do I need to do now to get what I want later? What do you need to do now to get what you want later? None of this is possible without Christ's help. Going back to Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Can't overcome my silly little phone," right? "Oh, what a miserable person. I want to do what is right, but I keep doing what is wrong. I know not to look, and so right? "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Somebody say, thank God. Thank God. Seriously, guys. Thank God. The answer is and always will be, and is no one else, Christ Jesus, our Lord. And without Him, you are nothing. With Him, you can accomplish everything and anything. But you have to put Him first. He has got to be the one that directs these things. And when the Spirit of God moves in your heart and says, "Jason, turn it over. Turn it over." Right? Don't ignore it. "Jason, hide your phone from you when you're driving your car, because it's going to kill you if you don't." Can somebody say amen? Hide it, because you can't win that battle. Hide it. Put it somewhere where you can't touch it until you park. Little brings big. What do I want? What did I say I wanted most? I want grandkids and a wife and a home and freedom, right? If I allow this phone to kill me in a car wreck, I lose every bit of that. So get rid of it. Throw it aside. It's distracting me from ending this message right now. Like, for real. I need to shut this down. Let's land this plane. Amen? So, somebody's hungry. Joe, you wanted to say amen, but in respect, you didn't. I love you for that. Somebody say, little habits produce big results. Little habits produce big results. Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 9 says, "A man reaps what he sows. Let us not become weary of doing good, for at the proper time he will reap a harvest if we don't give up." Don't give up. Make it clear, make it little, make it intentional, and don't give up. You reap what you sow. You'll harvest what you put in. You want something? Put something into it. It doesn't come easy. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for this day. I thank you, Jesus, for giving me, Lord God, this word. Allowing me to share it, Lord God. For first and foremost, it affects my life and my family. And I'm certain it does our church's family as well. Help us, God. Lord, help us, God, to be able to make our habit changes clear, understand why, make them little, make them intentional, and help us, Father, to not become weary of doing good. Even when it's hard, even when it's tough, let us keep on, Lord God. Help us to receive this message and apply this message. This series is not one of come and listen and go and stay the same, but it's come and listen and go and make a change. Help us make changes, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a little bit about it. You want to respond to the altar like we did last week? Go right ahead. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us here at the Knoxville First Church Podcast. We loved having you, and we hope you will come back next week for another great teaching. I would love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 6708 Westland Drive in Knoxville, Tennessee. If you would like to contribute and give to this ministry, go to www.knoxfirstchurch.com/give. See you next week.